Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, our focus this morning. Back, it's Elizabeth McNally, and back, it's Troy Skibo. Troy's the chairman of the board for Safe Harbor, and Elizabeth, the executive director. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you here this morning.
Good morning, Ted.
Boy, Elizabeth, this is one, when you two come in, it's always kind of an hour of learning. We kind of get a snapshot of things that are going on in the community that we all don't hear about often, but things that are going on. For people that don't know, talk a little bit about the work of what Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center does around here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us, and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, Safe Harbor exists to provide a place and a process for children to process abuse. So when an outcry is made by a child or a report is made by a concerned person in the community, we partner with law enforcement and Department of Social Services to collect the team of people that need to be involved in the child's investigation. And then we provide a place, a safe place, where the child can come and be forensically interviewed, which is a special type of interview that's trauma-informed and developmentally appropriate. And that interview leads to a statement that's defensible in court. So if a child's case ends up being prosecuted, that statement that they made is defensible in court and can prevent them from having to testify in court. So it's all about providing trauma-informed services to kids who've made an allegation of abuse or who have been abused, and making sure that they get justice for what's happened and that they get an opportunity to heal. So the other large portion of what we do is provide free trauma-focused therapy on site at our facility as well. And it's a special type of therapy that's developed for kids who've been abused. And we, through the generosity of the community and fundraising, we offer that therapy at no cost so that there's no barrier to accessing it.
But the whole thing about getting justice, and you ensure that, you take a lot of steps toward ensuring that because of what Safe Harbor is able to do. Because in the past, where the victim often had to go through, and young victims, you know, many, many interviews, you don't have to do that now.
Correct. Yeah. Before CACs, I mean, we've been around since 2008. The first CAC was established in the United States in the late 80s in Alabama. But for children, you know, prior to CACs existing, like you said, they would have had to talk to upwards of 10 different professionals in the course of their case. And that could be and is re-traumatizing to children. So
sure.
We don't want to re-traumatize them. And the other thing that can happen when a child has to state over and over and over again what happened is their story, the facts can get mixed up in their minds. And so that way their statement is not as defensible in court. And that's just a natural thing that happens when a child has to say over and over and over what has happened to them. So we want to offer them a way to make a statement that's preserved and it's witnessed by all the professionals that are investigating, and those professionals are able to have a rapport with our forensic interviewer so that they can gather more information if needed. But yeah, they used to have to retell their story many, many times. So we're very glad that kids don't have to do that anymore, and we can provide them, like I said, a place and a process that protects them.
Yeah.
Yep. And Ted, it's a team effort by a lot of professionals, and it goes to the core of our mission statement, which is to heal, support, and seek justice for victims of child abuse by coordinating and strengthening the community response and providing trauma-informed services to child victims and their offending caregivers. And like Elizabeth said, it's definitely a team effort amongst a lot of professionals, to include law enforcement, nurses, forensic nurses, mm-hmm. Social services,
mental health providers.
RACSB is a big partner with us,
mm-hmm.
And legislators too, if you don't think of it that way, but it is, because we actually need their help with a lot of things, to include funding.
Yeah. Well, and even, I guess, laws, too. I mean, you I'm sure that on just the legislative side, as day-to-day you see things, they can help with laws that need to be changed.
Absolutely. We are routinely contacted by legislators that we have, you know, a good relationship with about laws that are pending before either the state legislator or the federal Congress for our feedback about how would this law that's on the table affect the kids that you're serving,
yeah.
affect your services. And some of those laws have to do with funding as well.
And you can often find Elizabeth down in Richmond during the month of January and early February advocating.
Yeah. I was there last month. Yeah, so. And I might be there again next week. Yes.
Yeah, well, just on the funding side, because mm-hmm. you get money from a lot of different sources.
We do. We get federal funding, and that it comes from a pot called the Crime Victims Fund. People know it as VOCA, so we get funding that way that flows through the state, and then the state matches that funding, and then we get private funding from foundations when we write grants, and then locality funding as well. So mm-hmm. as Troy said. Our law enforcement partners and DSS partners, the localities provide funding to us, and then private grants, and of course the community. But we're doing a lot of work right now around advocating at the federal level for the Crime Victims Fund, which is dwindling, and at the state level around the funds that were matched last year by generous lawmakers there.
Troy, I would think that the work of Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center and over the years that it's been in this area has helped law enforcement.
It has.
Too. Just learning. You think of various ways that law enforcement learns from organizations that are on the front line of this, and because when Safe Harbor came in was such a different way of approaching things.
It was. It was a great group of people back in, I think you said, 2008 mm-hmm. That established the Safe Harbor Center here in Fredericksburg area. And it has grown tremendously since 2008. The amount of jurisdictions that we cover now is quite impressive. And Elizabeth, how many is it now?
We are up to 7. Yes.
So 7.
City of Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania County, Stafford County. I think those were the 3 original.
Yeah.
King George County, Caroline County. So all of Planning District 16 now.
Right.
We expanded into Orange County about 2 years ago, and literally less than a month ago, our board president still needs to sign the MOU, which I haven't sent him yet.
I know.
We've expanded into Essex County. So. Yeah.
And so that's a large area
that's
to cover.
That's a way large
yeah.
area.
But you have a lot of professionals. Law enforcement learns and works with the Advocacy Center, and we're able to, meet our goals, and that is to make sure that we provide the best
yeah.
service that we can to these victims. And so, as Elizabeth stated earlier, when a victim, the normal we get a phone call or a report, whether it's from social services, the schools, or a private citizen, mm-hmm. and then law enforcement has to go out and take a report, and it's usually a deputy or a police officer. And then, depending on the severity of it, maybe a detective has to get involved, and then maybe the victim has to go to the hospital to be seen. At some point, a prosecutor needs to speak with the victim, and it just goes on and on from there. Safe Harbor provides a very comfort atmosphere so that this child can come in and get everything done mm-hmm. And not be re-traumatized over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, law enforcement, we have MDTs, which are multidisciplinary teams, mm-hmm. which is a combination of everybody I just said, the professionals that are our partners, and we sit down and talk about the cases. And so it's been very successful.
And I'm sure, and on your end, Elizabeth, just to be able to provide any group that you know, some training mm-hmm. and some helps in all of this.
And we do prioritize training. Some of our jurisdictions are very small, and mm-hmm. the detectives in those jurisdictions don't have the ability to specialize in investigation of child sex crimes. Other jurisdictions have entire child victims units, and so they do specialize. But we learn a lot from our law enforcement partners too. It's a two-way back and forth. But we do prioritize providing as much training as possible, especially to those investigators who can't specialize in child sex crimes.
Well, and just when, as Troy mentioned, just, you know, the fact that you have expanded even outside the planning district, and you go into a place like Essex, where mm-hmm. they might not have this kind of, and again, it illustrates, it's just like, well, this is, you know, that wouldn't be a problem in a more rural locality, and unfortunately, it's a problem in any locality.
It is. It's a problem everywhere. And Essex, we've been working with Essex for about a year now, and have provided services to kids from Essex. So they've been, the detectives have been bringing kids to the CAC, which is over an hour to get to the CAC. And so they've seen the work that we can do with kids and the services that we can provide and how their investigations are strengthened by what the CAC brings. And ultimately the child is benefiting from all of this. And so it blossomed into a full formal partnership. And down the road, we're hoping to have an actual satellite of Safe Harbor in Essex that would serve the jurisdictions out that way.
Wow, okay.
And so hopefully within the next 12 to 18 months, that satellite will be up and running. And the doors will be open for many more kids around Essex, too. Northumberland County, Westmoreland County, a few others out there are looking at using the satellite.
Quick break. We're going to continue on. Good stuff this morning with the Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, safeharborva.org. We'll talk about how we can all get involved in the work of Safe Harbor, too. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Troy Skibo and Elizabeth McNally here this morning from Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, safeharborva.org. So, Elizabeth, you mentioned just the fact about federal money, and I know that that has been a huge thing that we have talked about, you and I, over the years, of where there has been really the threat of at times some real reductions in money that we're gonna really impact, you know,
drastically.
And I know that's always you continue to work and try to get you know, both state and federal funding. Mm-hmm. And I guess now with things kind of in flux in a lot of areas with federal funding, you mm-hmm. want to make sure that you you know work your, you know, the people that are in charge. It's too important what you do to lose, you know, massive amounts of money.
Yes, and what you're referring to was, about 2 years ago, we were told that the Crime Victims Fund, which is the large federal pot of funding that comprises about 75% of our total budget mm-hmm. at Safe Harbor, that pot was being cut by 60%. So we were going to see a huge loss in our funding. We were thankfully able to work with the Virginia General Assembly, who stepped in temporarily to allocate funding to us and other CACs around Virginia to alleviate that. However, that funding's temporary. And in the meantime, the federal funding, the VOCA, is still at risk. So the VOCA has not been fixed.
Okay, so we still need to be concerned about
Correct.
That.
Correct. So there's something called the Crime Victims Fund Stabilization Act of 2024 that has just been reintroduced in the new Congress. I believe by Representative Ann Wagner. That's the advocacy we're doing at the federal level is with Congress in the House and the Senate around the companion bills that are addressing the Crime Victims Fund. And if the Crime Victims Fund is not stabilized, we will be back in the same position, yeah. And it will be more than a 60% cut in our funding, which would decimate Safe Harbor.
I always tell the story that I got a letter from you know, from Safe Harbor in the mail, and I'm reading this, and I ended up contacting you. I contacted Bill Carroll, who's on your board that mm-hmm. I know that works here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, am I reading this correctly? Because, I mean, I know the work that you do. And to take that amount of money away and all the work that has been done all these years, you can't just... You just looked at it and you just thought, this can't happen.
Yeah. Is it possible? Yes. Yeah.
And one thing that the listeners can do to help us out is help us advocate for it.
Yeah.
And that's whether it's sending an email to a legislator, calling them. It helps a lot. More voices will definitely get us get the word out exactly what we're faced with and what we need. So that's one way that the listeners can help out is by reaching out to their senator, congressman, or woman and advocating for us.
And we will be, because this is a developing situation with the new Congress and the other things happening federally, we are literally just receiving talking points and information to share with the community about how they can call and contact there. So I would suggest watching our Facebook page, watching our website, which is safeharborva.org, for specific information about what to say when you contact those legislators.
This is important stuff to realize, just because of what you two have talked about of what you do in the community, to all of a sudden go back to where, you know, children are being interviewed in much different ways. You know, when you talk about justice, all of a sudden there's no justice.
Yeah.
Correct. And something I always like to mention too is that, I mean, I'm focused on the child and their healing and their, but we are also integral to the safety of the community. So being part of the process of holding offenders accountable and keeping them out of the community where they can harm additional children is also a really important component of what we do. And communities that have child advocacy centers have a higher rate of successful prosecutions of offenders. So the communities are kept
safer. Yeah. Yeah. It just makes sense. It's alarming. And just because the agencies you work with, all the agencies you work with, are so, you know, I mean, they're short-staffed, and all of a sudden, to take away Safe Harbor and to put more on short-staffed, I would be alarmed.
Yeah.
Last year, we had over 400 kids come through for our services, so 400 cases that were addressed by the MDTs that we just talked about. So to give a sense of the volume of how many kids we see. So we wouldn't be seeing those 400 kids if our funding was cut. And I mean, it's more complex than a three-legged stool, but if Safe Harbor is gone, that three-legged stool, which is law enforcement, DSS, and other partners, it collapses.
Yeah.
It collapses. And the community reverts to having no place for kids to go and offenders not being held accountable. It's just not, it's not acceptable. It wouldn't be acceptable for that to happen.
Well, in another sense, you think of the Save Jane event that you start at about noon and finish roughly 8 o'clock at night with just saying names. Think of how long
the
list would be even longer.
Yeah.
Which again is just
thank you.
It's frightening for the community, but also do you think of the victims?
Right, it's eye-opening the amount of names that we have to read off. But it's when I say it's a group effort, you see the variety of different people that come in and read. It could be a mayor, it could be a sheriff, it could be a chief of police or social services. It's a
school
lot of different
counselors.
People.
Counselors. I mean,
it's a lot of different people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting that word out and letting the public know how many victims come across our center and centers across Virginia and the United States. It's astonishing.
Yeah, across Virginia, CACs collectively served more than 11,000 kids last year. And like I said, the funding that we were just talking about affects each CAC a little bit differently, but they are all affected. So the federal funding would affect all the CACs in Virginia.
Yeah.
So we don't want kids to go without services. We don't want child abuse happening, obviously. But we don't want kids to go without services. And it's unacceptable to think of a community that would have to shut the doors of a CAC because of a lack of funding.
Yeah.
A lot of pieces to the puzzle. You've got the educational piece where we try to get out in the community at different events and let people know what we can provide. Then we have the actual CIs, which is the interviews that occur at the center. And then we provide a mental health aspect and counseling for every patient. We at least offer it to them. So it's a combined effort and a lot of people involved.
I've always said to you, Elizabeth, that you have such a hard time in this, in that there's so many things you can't talk about. And you can talk about, and we'll, as we go along this morning, we will talk about some of the, when there are success stories. But a lot of times, we never really see the face of a success story. You can tell it, and it's thrilling to hear, but it's just so different than most other agencies that do work with wanting to protect the victims. A lot of times afterwards, a victim will come forward and tell their stories. Not generally with what you do,
right?
But we may not know it, but we all likely, we know people.
You know people, yeah.
But we don't know their whole story,
right?
And that's the thing.
And not only do you know people, so just to go back just briefly to what you were saying about the volume, we also have to acknowledge that child abuse is underreported too. So
sure,
the list at Save Jane could get longer and longer, and that's not even touching, you know, the group of kids whose cases never get reported. And I lost my train of thought of what you were saying.
No, but it's this is an easy issue to say, well, this doesn't really affect, yay for Safe Harbor, you're doing this, but, you know, this doesn't affect me.
Correct.
Most people read in the paper, on the news, the outcome of a case, but you're right. They do not know the story behind it. It can be traumatizing, not only to the victim, but the investigators and the professionals who actually touch each case. They do this on a regular basis. And so it's great that different agencies, when I say agencies, I'm not talking just about law enforcement, but the other professionals that we've talked about have things set in place within their agency to help those employees cope with the ongoing amount of cases and hardships,
stress,
if you want, and stress that they encounter with these cases. So kudos to all the agencies that have a wellness team or some type of program for their employees, because that is just as important.
Hold that thought. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we come back. We need to take a break. Troy Skibo and Elizabeth McNally here from Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. Elizabeth, the executive director. Troy is the president of the board of directors for Safe Harbor. Safe Harbor VA. .org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Elizabeth McNally and Troy Skibo in this morning as we talk about the work of Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. Troy, you just talked about something. Elizabeth and I have talked about this many, many times about, you know, dealing with these kinds of issues, and she's talked about her staff having to deal with it, for whether it's law enforcement or just some of the other agencies. Same kind of thing, I guess. You're dealing with this, and all of a sudden, you know, you're expected to go home and try to, you know, go to a soccer game and live your life, and you know what's going on with some families.
Yeah, first responders, and then some of the professional partnerships that we have, whether it's social services, forensic nurses, prosecutors, the list goes on and on. They deal with stress every day, and it's very fortunate that some of these agencies have a wellness team that go above and beyond for their employees to recognize and then, you know, reach out to employees that may be suffering from something. I know in Spotsylvania, they have a very well-structured wellness team. that tends to their employees, and it is just it's great what they do for them, and I'm sure that the employees appreciate it. And I do know that other agencies have something similar. They might call it something else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's critical that they provide that service for their employees, because they, I know the average person knows that first responders deal with, you know, a traumatic event and stress on a daily basis.
So they're seeing it up close.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the things that they see and hear and do, definitely needs a professional, interaction from someone, and so it's very, very good that these agencies have that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
safeharborva.org, and that's why what you all do, Elizabeth, is I guess one of the is as you go about your daily work, you truly don't know what a day is going to hold.
No,
it could be the most normal day, or it could be something that 5 minutes before someone thinks they're going to go home, all of a sudden, you know, law enforcement shows up.
Correct. Yes. We're considered first responders. Kids can make allegations or reports and outcries at any time. And sometimes they need to be seen within a certain amount of time to collect certain types of evidence. And so we put ourselves out there as being available, and we have to be ready to respond pretty much any time. So one of the great partnerships that we have is with Mary Washington, who provides the forensic nurse examiners, and mm-hmm. we're one of a handful of CACs in Virginia that has a medical exam room on site. So sometimes kids come to us not to have a forensic interview, but because they need to have a medical evaluation related to abuse. And so we need to be there when the kids and the detectives need us. So yes, every day looks different. We never know really what's going to happen on any given day, but we're there and ready.
Well, and to show the power and the effectiveness of what you do, you just look at your board and look at how so many different agencies are involved and we'd want to be involved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Right. We have law enforcement. We have former prosecutors. We have
forensic nurses.
Two forensic nurses on our board.
Social services.
Mm-hmm.
Former principal.
Former principal.
I hope I don't forget anybody. Elizabeth, who else do we have on there? So it's a variety of different people.
Yeah.
And the knowledge and experience that they bring to the board and their ideas help us just make it a better organization.
Well, whenever you come in and we talk about Safe Harbor, mm-hmm. I always think, or I always say, just how fortunate we are to have a Safe Harbor in this community. And there is a way now that the community can step up and provide some funding in the form of a match. And matches are always great for any organization to try to raise money, and this one in particular.
Yeah, this is really exciting. This is the first time in my history with Safe Harbor and our golf tournament, which has been going on for 16 years now, that I'm aware of such a match coming up, a match challenge. So a donor in the community has offered a match of $5,000 to the title sponsorship of our upcoming golf tournament. And so we are actively looking for that matching sponsor. So we have the ability to raise $10,000. Above and beyond what we will raise the day of the tournament for this title sponsorship. So there's information on our website about that.
And our golf tournament is going to be on April 7th.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very popular golf tournament. It'll be held at the Fredericksburg Country Club, which is just a beautiful course right there off the Tidewater Trail in Spotsylvania. But on April 7th, we have a variety of different people that join us and sponsor this golf tournament. And our goal is to, I think, raise $50,000 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different sponsorship packages, a title sponsor at $5,000, a beacon of light at $3,500,
mm-hmm.
a lighthouse sponsor at $2,000, first responder sponsorship at $1,500. Harbor Master sponsor at 1,100, Lightkeeper sponsor at 750, Putting Green sponsor at 475, and a hole sponsor at 300. Mm-hmm. But if you're interested, be sure to go to our website, safeharborva.org. Go to the events page, mm-hmm. and you can get all the information you need, or you can always call Elizabeth or Lynn.
Or Lynn, yeah.
At Safe Harbor, and they can get you squared away.
Absolutely.
Well, and these are ways the community can get involved, and that kind of money we talk about how, as you try to raise money and try to do what you do, this kind of thing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just huge for what you do, and especially when it's something like over and above of what you were expecting.
Oh, absolutely. It's a fantastic opportunity, and I know someone in the community will step up, and yeah. this will be matched. We've got sponsors already lined up. Terra Stoneworks is a Beacon of Light sponsor. They're actually from out of the area, and they fly in to play in this tournament mm-hmm. from another state.
Yeah.
Forty Line Waterworks is a lighthouse. Cheryl and Jim Schlesinger are lighthouse sponsors. They've been involved with Safe Harbor since the beginning. The Knights of Pythias is a new group supporting the tournament this year, and they are a lighthouse sponsor, and they're also bringing in additional three teams to play. And, of course, Mary Washington Healthcare is always a sponsor. But getting back to that challenge sponsor, please call us if you have questions. Please share our Facebook post about the sponsor match challenge. We're happy to answer any questions.
We also have... a raffle type system set up at the tournament. So if you own a business and you would like to donate a good or a service
mm-hmm.
To us in
for
kind,
that raffle.
Mm-hmm. For that raffle, that also raises a lot of money.
It does.
So that's another way you can help.
I'm not a golfer, but I went out to it was last fall, this group of they're related to firemen raising money for mm-hmm. for firefighter cancer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just real, I mean, the people who come to these events, and I was, because golf tournaments, these kind of fundraising golf tournaments always seem to do really well. And
mm-hmm.
I went to that and I thought, I see why. It was a fun, it's really, if you're a golfer, these are fun events, and you're really raising money for a good cause.
And we have fantastic like raffle prizes. Jackie Brett is our coordinator on our committee to coordinate all those raffle prizes. And there's last year we had a Blackstone griddle that was in a special raffle. We had a pair of diamond hoop earrings. As Troy said, we have services. We had a car detailing, like a $400 car detailing gift certificate, which was fantastic. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
So you want to get involved in these kinds of things.
You do.
And this is why you can really help the work of Safe Harbor.
Absolutely. It's also an opportunity for our, honestly, like a lot of our investigators will put teams together and they'll come out and play in the tournament. So it's time for them to network and get away from the office for a day and be out and take care of themselves too.
Yeah.
So it's just a wonderful event for the community to be involved in, and it is Safe Harbor's largest fundraiser of the year. So it's important that we do a good job raising money.
Before we get out of here this morning, we'll give you again the details on the fundraising or on the golf tournament, the date and all mm-hmm. of that before we get out of here. SafeHarborVA.org again is the website. Elizabeth McNally and Troy Skibo here this morning. It's always interesting, and we talked earlier about how hard it is to tell stories. But when you are able to tell stories, and when you are able to talk about people, you know, who've told you, and I know Elizabeth, you know, this is, just being able to smile for the first mm-hmm. time, or just
engage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I know it makes the heartbreak and the concern that you have so many days to see someone who is able to take advantage of some of the counseling and the helps that you have makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. And it's sort of a side benefit of having all of our services in one physical location. I mean, we do that so that the kids can build a relationship with us, and they're coming back to the same place, seeing the same people, and it underscores that feeling of safety for them. But the side benefit of that as well is that we, as the people working at the CAC, get to see those children and the arc of their healing. So we see them when they first come in for a forensic interview. They're scared. They're, you know, traumatized. If they go into therapy, then we're seeing them every week for months on end. And we get to see that. And that it's a privilege to be able to see that. And I try to share that with the community, knowing that I can't share more detailed information about kids, but we are privileged to see that, and it does feed our souls to keep doing the hard work.
Well, and just to be able to come into a place and for kids that's so inviting. It's, you know, you've got wallpaper on the wall. It's a warm area.
It's child
not
focused.
Like yeah, it's not like you're going into in so many places just an office, and that or it's just set up to try to put someone at ease.
It's set up to be psychologically safe. It's set up to be welcoming to kids, as you said, but also our practices are welcoming to kids. So I know I've talked about the little boy with the truck before, who came in for a forensic interview. I think he kind of had been going between different homes, had some transiency, unfortunately, in his life, and while he was waiting for services, became very attached to a tow truck that was in our waiting room, a kid's tow truck. And he decided that he needed to drive that tow truck around to all of the various rooms, the medical exam room, the forensic interview room, and the staff just supported him. And, you know, other places they might have said, oh, you need to leave that truck where it is.
Right.
And, you know, that truck was his companion, too, throughout the services that he was receiving. And it may seem like a small thing, but he felt comfortable. He felt supported. And he left with the truck that day.
That's the other thing. Most places would say, no, we're going to let someone else play with that.
Right. No, he left with the truck. We gave him the truck. He didn't ask for it. We gave him the truck. But our entire universe is focused around kids and making them feel safe and comfortable and cared for.
Yeah. Now, everybody, it's so interesting, Troy, because everybody in the process has a role.
They do.
But Safe Harbor, your role is to just really love the kids and just let them know that, you know, you're there and they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're when you interact with these children who have been traumatized, it takes a while. It doesn't happen the split second. It might take hours, days, weeks to build their trust, to get them to open up. And the investigators who interview are highly trained in finding a way to get to that, story that needs to be told. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of training that goes into these professionals who help us. And I just can't say thank you enough to everybody that puts in 110% on this, because it helps a lot.
And like you say, Troy, when at the end, when we see that a case has been, you know, has gone through the courts,
right?
There's so many people behind that, and so much. And Safe Harbor has played such a role in that, but that never you're not mentioned, but you, when you see that, you know that's that case and that's that child, and you know we've been through that whole thing.
It's great to see a case be adjudicated, but it really pulls at our heartstrings when you finally get to the point where the victim can heal.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, it's heart-wrenching at times.
Yeah.
Knowing the story that they went through and knowing that the amount of people that put in a lot of time, but to offer a chance for them to heal. That is what is.
And just to tack on to that briefly, trauma can manifest itself at any time. And so another unique element of what we do at Safe Harbor is children can come back and access our therapy until they're 18.
Mm-hmm.
So they may come for services for us initially when they're 5, 6, 7 years old, not be experiencing trauma at that particular time, not demonstrating trauma symptoms. Something can crop up when they're 11, 12, 13. They can call us up and we will get them reconnected to that therapy that's free. So, and that's very unique as well. And
because you never know, like you say.
It's a huge commitment.
Yeah.
Of that Safe Harbor makes and believes in making.
And because with the child, like you say, it may be years, and all of a sudden they're a teenager and an issue arises. And they need some help.
Right. Correct.
So, and that's why we want to do that match. And that's why we want to play in these golf tournaments or make donations, become a donor to Safe Harbor.
Absolutely. Which is very easy to do on our website, or you can also call us and we'll be happy to talk with you about how that works. We need a sponsor match.
We're going to get
in the short
soon.
Term.
In the very, very soon. Someone will hear this today and say, you know, I can do that.
Absolutely.
I like this work. SafeHarborVA.org. Do that and get a hold of Elizabeth. You said Lynn.
And Lynn is our program assistant, and she is the heart of Safe Harbor, let me just say. If I'm the face of Safe Harbor, Lynn is the heart.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll have to have, would Lynn... Lynn sometime could come.
She could. I could bring all the staff. They're yeah. We'll do that.
Sometime that would be fun to see and just to meet, just to put faces with everybody.
Absolutely.
Elizabeth McNally, the face of Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center. Troy Skibo, sort of the you're sort of like the principal. You're sort of the
yeah, I guess you could say that.
President of the board of Safe Harbor. SafeHarborVA.org. We'll take a quick break and then conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Troy Skibo, Elizabeth McNally here this morning with the Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, safeharborva.org. Get to know who they are and just the good work in the community. Again, Troy, the golf tournament is coming up. If you're interested in that and becoming a sponsor or playing or just letting you may know friends who might be interested in this.
Yes, sir. It's April 7th. It's going to be held at the Fredericksburg Country Club there in Spotsylvania off of Tidewater Trail. It's going to be our 16th annual golf tournament. Mm-hmm. And it's one of our biggest fundraisers. It's a great time, and we have a lot of great people that join us that day. Our goal is to raise $50,000 on for that event, and if you want to put in a team or if you want to be a sponsor, just visit safeharborva.org. That's safeharborva.org. Go to the events tab, and you can find out a lot more information about that, or just give Elizabeth or Lynn a call. Also, in mid-April, we are going to be hosting a open house for anybody in the community or any sponsors that want to come see exactly what we do.
Okay.
And just be sure to follow our website and or our social media pages to find out exactly when that will be. But I think it's going to be sometime mid-April.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
SafeHarborVA.org, and then of course in April's when we see a lot of localities put pinwheels up, and there's talk about that, and we'll have you back to talk
Correct.
About all of
yes
all
and we'll be doing our pinwheel that. Planting at that that event, so the community will learn more about that. But
it was interesting. I came last year. It was really interesting for me to see the various agencies that came.
We had a really good turnout from our MDT partners.
Yeah, yes. And it was a kind of a cold morning, and but a bunch of people from a lot, and that's where I really saw firsthand that this is to the various agencies that work with you. There's passion, and just a really just an interest in the community and the kids.
Absolutely. Seemingly endless passion for this. Yeah.
And when you hear things and follow, especially follow Safe Harbor on Facebook, when you hear about the Crime Victims Fund at the federal level, that has a huge impact on here. And when you give information on writing various legislators, do that.
Yes, please do. And I mean, we're going to give as much information and talking points and as we can, and that'll be coming out in the next few days on our website and our Facebook, so please keep an eye out for that. And if there's any questions about what to do or who to call, feel free to call me at the CA at Safe Harbor, and I'm happy to talk to you. But it's critically important.
SafeHarborVA.org. Elizabeth McNally, Troy Skibo. Thank you both. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Dad.
Thank you.
That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.